I was looking forward to celebrating my 92nd birthday the next day. And then you surprised me with a card shower and a very good birthday cake. Thankfully, no candles. Then that afternoon, when I opened up the cards and read all the notes you wrote, I was overwhelmed by your expressions of appreciation and love. If ever I felt useless and no longer wanted, that feeling disappeared. With all sincerity, I want to thank you and seek in some way to return that love. By the way, I won't mention who passed this along to me, this story, and assure you that it has nothing to do with me. In fact, Ethel and I have been married, and we'll soon celebrate our 69 years of marriage. Anyway, here's the story. George, age 92, and Gloria, age 89, are excited about their decision to get married, even though they were way up in their years. They go for a stroll to discuss wedding plans and came to a drugstore. And George suggests that they go in and speak to the man behind the counter. "Sir, are you the owner?" The pharmacist answered, "Yes." "Well, we're about to get married. Do you sell Ensure and Miralax?" "Of course." "Well, how about support hose and medicine for rheumatism and arthritis?" "All kinds. Denture supplies, sleeping pills, adult size Depends. "Absolutely. Do you sell canes, walkers, and wheelchairs?" "We do." Then the store owner asked, "Why all the questions?" George smiles, looks at Gloria, and she nods her head. "Well, we would like to use your store for our wedding registry." Folks, you're a wonderful congregation. And I thank you for the opportunity to serve you as best I am able. I know that times are difficult. I guess you probably turned your TV or radio on this morning and know that we dropped 14 buster bombs on Iran's nuclear facilities last night. We turn the news on and we quickly learn that much of our world is filled with anxiety about various conflicts. Every day seems to bring with it another wave of disheartening news. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, Paul encouraged believers who had lost loved ones not to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And I believe the Apostle Paul would tell us who follow Jesus not to live like men who have no hope. As Christians, this is not a time for us to live in fear, because we do have hope, a living hope, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, there are just two major points in this sermon. And to lead us into those two points, I want to read Isaiah 55:9. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, I'm convinced we are really in need of some God thoughts this morning. So I'll be calling your attention to a number of scriptures. And two verses in Isaiah speak to the reason why. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I'm confident that God's word will accomplish His purpose. So times like these, we need to remember God is still on His throne. Isaiah 6:1 begins with these words. You remember them from 2 weeks ago. In the year that King Uzziah died. Now, Uzziah had been king of Judah for 55 years. And most of that time he had been a good king. But what do you think the nation of Israel felt when he died? With an enemy army at their border, they were undoubtedly troubled about the future. Well, God knew that his people needed to see that he was still on his throne. So Isaiah testifies in the last part of that verse, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And then again, in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 21, it tells us, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, that's God, all sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Our God is in control. Not only must we remember that God is still on his throne, but also that he is in control. Do you remember when Jesus said to the apostles, just before he gave them what we call the Great Commission, he told them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the Apostle Paul confidently said, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The Gospel of Luke tells about Caesar Augustus issuing a decree for a census of the whole Roman world. Now, Caesar Augustus must have thought it was all his idea. But it's obvious that it was a part of God's eternal plan for Joseph and Mary to be in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Just like the prophet Micah had said hundreds of years earlier. So at times like these, we must remember that God is on his throne, that he is in control, and that our God can be trusted. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Jesus himself said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." At times like today, we must remember not only that God is on his throne, that he is in control, that God can be trusted, and that our God is our helper. Steve Malone told about a time when his first wife was terminally ill. He wrote, and I'm going to read his words, "The psalm I'm about to read has been a special psalm to me since my first wife was battling cancer and was in ICU at the University Hospital in Tampa, Florida. She was not doing well. The meds were not working. She was uneasy, disoriented, and hallucinating. Nothing the doctors did helped. Finally, she looked to me and asked, 'Where is my Bible?' I grabbed it off the window ledge and handed it to her. She flipped feverishly through the pages and then pointed to Psalm 121 and said, 'Read this to me.' I read it to her, and instantly and supernatural peace and calmness swept over her." He goes on to say, folks, let me read a part of Psalm 121 to you. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." And Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart rejoices, and I praise him with my song." Yes, God has truly been our helper, I believe. Now, I could go on listing things the Bible tells us about God, that our God is great and good, God is faithful, God keeps his promises, God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a father of compassion, the God of all comfort. Therefore, we will not be afraid. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Therefore, we will not worry." Jesus said in Matthew 6, 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" Maybe you've heard this little saying, whatever it is, from years ago, I do. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious humans rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Instead of focusing on all of the bad news each day, follow the advice of the Apostle Paul found in Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." In these troubled times, remember that our God is still on His throne. He is in control and can be trusted and is our helper. Therefore, we will not be afraid. We will not worry, and we will consider it pure joy. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." You see, there is a purpose behind every difficult time. So if you have trouble seeing times like these, So if you have trouble seeing times like these as an opportunity for joy, ask God to give you the wisdom to see it that way. Also, we will be a light for Him. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And right now, the world really needs to see how Christians can live, not stupidly, not living in fear and worry. And we may have opportunities to turn our conversations into God conversations. Peter wrote, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have in these troubled times. We must remember that our God is still on his throne. He is in control. He can be trusted, and he is our helper. Therefore, we will show compassion." Matthew 9:35-36 says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." We must care about people's fears and needs too. So be looking for opportunities to serve others. Finally, oh, I love to hear this finally. It will be worth it all. There's a beautiful hymn that says, "Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory, safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down." Now, I'd rather have a trumpet instead of a harp, but nevertheless, you get the point. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So fix your eyes on Jesus, not on any crisis, not on the news media, not on fear and hopelessness, but on Jesus. He is my Savior, and he wants to be yours too. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Oh Father, we come today, each of us, with our burdens, with our needs, yes, with our sins. We need your forgiveness. We need your strength. We need the hope that you give and the confidence that we find through Jesus. Father, if there be anyone here this morning who has a particular need, we pray that they'll make the decision to let you meet that need. If it's a need for a Savior, Father, we know that you're ready, willing to accept them as they come, repentant of their past, looking forward to the future with you. If they need to follow your command in baptism, may they make that decision too. If they're a Christian, they need to make this their church home, to find the church home. May they see in our faces, in our lives, in our words, that we love you and that you love us. So Father, give them the strength and the will to make the decision for you and to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you have a decision to make, would you come? Let it be known.